Hey, we're back together sooner than you expected, I assume, because we just had an episode on Thursday. But, you know, I thought, fuck it, why not? I should note to you that you might hear weird banging in the background. There are fireworks happening constantly. I will be talking more about that a little bit later. But just people are doing fireworks now. I don't know. That's a thing. So if you can hear that, I'm sorry, but I can't exactly go around to all my neighbours and be like, shut the fuck up. I wish I could, but I feel like that would be a disaster, so we're just gonna have to get through this together. You know that I'm the queen of the methadone scene. I'll heal you even when you're broken beyond repair. Dancing around in your dad's daydreams. Waiting for sorry to mean something. To be more than just a sound you make when the look on my face indicates that you should. I clean up your conscience. Blotting out bad days with newspapers that know all about your tabloid trouble. As you swim through a lake of your red pill crocodile tears. Sweetly soothing me with a mantra that I matter. That I'm not like the hers of your history. That I'm the only one who stays. I start to wonder if being your only constant is a real badge of honour. Or if I am just your complicated mother lover, nursing you and your ego, being your baby, until you need to regress and rage. And then I am your sweet sex doll, your comfort blanket, your maid, cleaning up your conscience, cleaning out your soul and your veins. I start to wonder if I am just as addicted as you. So obsessed with being your saviour that I cannot see how I have torn myself apart to bandage your bad behaviour. You know that I'm the queen of the methadone scene. And I'll heal you even when you don't want to recover. Locking you in our love nest, tied down to torture. As I draw the demons from your shaking soul, because I can't give up on the broken boy that I love. I will visit your veins tonight, because I can't give up on the broken boy that I love. So, I remember, even when I was little, being told that girls grow up faster than boys, girls mature faster than boys, and you know, even as an adult, being told, you know, men and women, like, there's a sort of maturity gap. That's the fireworks I mentioned. I think that's a scam. I really do. I think that is something that we are told to excuse the behaviour of some men. And here's why I think that. There are some men that are rational, proper grown-ups who do not, you know, expect women to take care of them and to be their sort of emotional soundboard, maid, mother, girlfriend, you know, all those things rolled into one, because they are self-sufficient and they can take care of themselves, and they're looking for an equal partner to be in a relationship with, right? So if some men can do that, then how am I supposed to accept the fact that some men haven't, right? And that it's because men mature slower than women and whatever. That doesn't make any kind of sense. What I think is that narrative has been perpetuated to excuse and enable some men who don't want to have to... It's like they want to play at being grown-ups. They want to do the whole, you know, being a grown-up sometimes, but the rest of the time I'm going to find a woman and I'm going to rely on her to cook my food and clean my clothes and look after me and all that. But the rest of the time they want to play grown-up. And I think that's why we're told that narrative, because it excuses those people. But here's the thing, if there are other men who are able to be proper grown-ups all the time, should we be enabling and excusing the people who can't? Because I feel like sometimes we do. And I've done that myself. You know, when I was writing that, I was thinking about this kind of relationship where I was really, like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, I forgot what I was saying. No, I'm back, don't worry. I felt like I was kind of his girlfriend, but also, like, his emotional support duck, and his mum, and, you know, a whole bunch of other things. And it was exhausting because I did not have the energy for anything that didn't involve him, because I was constantly having to deal with him. And so I could never do anything for me. And it's like, it was hard because I really did care about him, but it wasn't good for me. But it also wasn't good for him, because he never learned how to deal with things himself, and he never learned how to exist without me helping him to exist. And it was kind of destructive for everybody involved. My hair is really nothing to write home about. So you can imagine my shock when a man tried to remove the veil from my mundane mane to share my hair with the whole street last Sunday when I was walking home from church. He launched into a tirade about terrorism, dropping all the big names: Baghdadi, Osama bin Laden, Shamima Begum. And I just stared, not sure what the fuck to say to him, just thinking, wait, what the fuck? Until my girlfriend screamed, she isn't a Muslim. Now, I know that my girl is a good girl, just trying to shut down some mad thing. Never assuming that being a Muslim is a bad thing. Just trying to make this not a police thing. Because she's smart enough to know that I'm not white enough to get the damsel edit if this all kicks off. But I just kept thinking, wait, what the fuck? Watching him row back and shut up as she awkwardly explains that it's a Catholic thing, and he laughs, his arm snaking around my shoulder, as if that snake wasn't convinced I was going to blow it to bits 2 minutes before, when he thought I wasn't a Catholic, but that I was a Muslim. I'm not going to take it as a compliment, that my hair being hidden is suddenly none of his business if he finds out I'm an innocent little Catholic girl and not a Muslim that he has imagined a bunch of insidious things about. Because my Muslim sisters live their lives labelled as letterboxes, bank robbers and terrorists. Because some dumb fuck racist can't mind his business or learn about the ladies that he labels. Her hair might be perfect, or it might be as mundane as mine, but her body is her business, and so is what she dresses it with. My hair is nothing to write home about, but I can choose not to share it, and no one really cares once I demonstrate that my God has a European face. Thanks, colonialism. Just like all ethnic minorities look the same to racist people, I am assuming any veil that covers a woman's hair looks the same too. But I don't wear that every day. That's really just a when I'm going to church kind of situation. Last year, Boris Johnson wrote a column, as in Boris Johnson, that is currently, unfortunately, our Prime Minister, in which he attacked Muslim women for their choice of dress. He referred to veiled Muslim women as letterboxes and bank robbers. And you know what happened? Hate crimes against Muslims went up that week from 8 incidents the previous week to 38 the following week, and 22 of those attacks were against veiled Muslim women. So, I mean, he can sit there and he can say that, you know, he didn't realize that would happen, or you know, he has Muslim relatives so he shouldn't be held accountable. He's a grown man and he should have known that targeting Muslim women in that way would have consequences. And guess what? It did. More Muslim women were attacked, and those attacks that are reported are the only ones we know about. There are probably a lot more that could have happened that we didn't know about, because not everyone is going to report it, because, you know, and I can say this from experience as well, going to the police about incidents involving, you know, hate crimes, a lot of the time it feels like a waste of time. And I know that that isn't always the police's fault, because, you know, they have limited resources at the moment. And, you know, it'd be like that sometimes. But, you know, sometimes it feels like there's no point going to the police, because, I mean, you know, it very much feels like a what are they actually going to do about it situation. For the last, you know, I'd say really since forever, really, as far as I can remember. Obviously, I haven't been alive super long, really, in the grand scheme of things. But for as long as I can remember, I have read about Muslims being targeted, specifically Muslim women. But it definitely has increased. People feel that they have a right to attack Muslim women in the street. They have a right to shout at them, to scream at them, to physically assault them. And that is why it is important for everybody else to support Muslim women. to be good allies, allies that will go all the way, allies that will actually stand with them and protect them from that. You know, if you see a Muslim woman being harassed in the street, you should help her. You know, if you see somebody shouting at them or physically attacking them, there's probably something you can do. And if you see somebody like Boris fucking Johnson talking shit, call him the fuck out. It's not enough to just be like, oh, it's just Boris being Boris. Fuck Boris. And fuck you too if you enable that with that, oh, it's just Boris being Boris nonsense. He's a grown man and he incited hatred against an already vulnerable group of people. And people are still enabling him and being like, oh, it's just Boris. He's just doing what he does. Oh, he's so funny. He's got floppy hair and he's a slut and he's fucked like a million women and nobody really knows how many kids he's got. It's just Boris. He's a grown man with a huge platform who targeted vulnerable women for clicks, basically. He just did it because he knew that a column like that would get a lot of views. He was willing to throw those vulnerable women under the bus for attention. And it's time that he was held accountable, because hate crimes against those women went up at that time because of him. When do we say enough is enough? Just this week, in The Spectator, which is a online pile of hatred, Rod Liddell wrote a column and he basically said that elections should be scheduled at a time when students probably wouldn't vote and Muslims couldn't vote. And there were people defending him. They were like, oh, it's satire. Oh, he's just trying to be funny. Well, satire is supposed to be funny, and that... Love me in a language that I don't understand. Let me sit at your desk, mimicking your meaningful mumble. My throat is having trouble wrapping itself around the way you feel. The way I feel, and how I can expel it with the elegance you exude. I will revise and rise from the life I was born into. Breaking into a new narrative where I am the starstruck, star-crossed sweetheart. Waking up in your archaic arc. A tale as old as time. Red Riding Hood, losing her mind and her morals to a wise old wolf. I spent most of my time when I was 16 doing two things. Three things, actually. Number one, binge watching Star Trek, because I don't tell the government. I used to spend some of my EMA buying Star Trek box sets on Amazon. And... for those who don't know what EMA is, by the way, it's Education Maintenance Allowance. I don't think they do it anymore. But basically, if you were over 16 and you were in full-time education, they would give you £30 a week as long as your attendance was good. And you were supposed to spend it on school supplies. And I would spend some of it on school supplies, but I would also spend some of it on Star Trek box sets. So... I would get like a new season of Star Trek every month. It was my little treat to myself. And I would bring my laptop to school and I would watch them when I had free periods. So I spent some of it watching Star Trek. I spent some of it being in love. Or so I thought. And then I spent the rest of my time writing about being in love. Or so I thought. He was like... like, now, I'm like, oh my God, he was so annoying and pretentious. What the fuck? He would, like, talk to me in, like, different languages. And I had no idea what any of them meant, but I thought it was so impressive and romantic. And it's funny because I also had someone else that I went out with later in my life, and they used to talk to me in other languages, and I just found it annoying. I don't know why. I've always felt really harsh about that, because I think he was doing it to try and be romantic, and I was just like, oh, I, you know. Anyway, and he thought he was so funny and so clever. He would call me Red Riding Hood, which never made sense because I never wore red. And I didn't have hoods. I think it was because he wanted to call himself the Wolf, because he felt cool that way. I don't know. So I had to be Red Riding Hood, because I guess he didn't know any other stories with a wolf, you know. And so, and I just thought it was so fucking amazing, because I was dumb as fuck. And young and naive and stupid. I got some good writing out of it though, at the time. Like, it was good for at the time. Obviously now I've kind of like remixed it, as it were. But I really thought I was changing the world. Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more. I've had a fucking enough. Fireworks. I've had enough. That's it. You've heard of the war on Christmas. There's probably been a war on Easter. I am starting the war on fireworks. I've had it up to here. Honestly. Right. I will not begrudge people like organized fireworks displays on a set date, but when every fucking person is setting off fireworks from the start of October till fucking January, it's really going too far, isn't it? I listen, not to be all Piers Morgan about it, but I've been trying to record this episode for a while, and everyone decided to set off fucking fireworks today. And all week, they've been going off. Just, it's been relentless. As soon as the sun goes down, everybody thinks they're the big fireworks guy, and everyone's fucking, I just... It's a crisis. I'm telling you, it is an actual crisis. It's insane. The other day, I was sitting up until about 1:30 in the morning. Do you want to know why? It wasn't my insomnia as usual. No. I was actually quite tired and I was trying to sleep. And every time I tried to sleep, some dickhead set off fireworks. People were setting them off until like 1:00 in the morning. I would have called the police, but I'm a millennial and we, you know, we don't make phone calls. So I just, and there was a video I saw on Twitter of this little dog and the fireworks were going off and he was literally shaking, literally, like, it was horrible. And to think people are almost on a daily basis at this point, where I live anyway, there are fireworks going off. And I'm like, it's supposed to be the 5th of November. That's when you're meant to do it. Maybe New Year's Eve a push, but as you saw last episode, we're boycotting that. So I don't know, we'll see. Why are you setting them off now? Why? Do you know what? There's some going off now. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's just enough. If fucking enough. All right? I've had enough. When I become Prime Minister, that's going straight at the top of my list. No more random fireworks. Do them on the proper day or fuck off, basically. There's no need to be doing this right now. It's the 2nd of November. Nothing significant happened on the 2nd of November that involves fireworks. So what are you doing? What is this? And on Halloween, right, which was supposed to be a sacred, spooky day of fun, some people in my area were just setting them off in the road. Like, in the actual road. What the fuck? I'm not trying to be a bitch, but I don't feel like the British public can really be trusted with fireworks. Look at how they're acting. It's insane. So today's luxury hot take, no more fireworks apart from, like, trusted officials. The public, no. Well, there's no need for it. Think of the dogs. Think of people, there are people that have PTSD and loud noises and flashing lights. It's going to be an issue. Think of them. Or just think of people like me who are fucking tired of the just incessant noise. It's absurd. Why are they just... It really... I think it doesn't help that I have single glazing. But, you know, I wanted a house I could rent for less than, like, £3,000 a month. So I guess that's the price you pay. But... I don't understand. I really don't. And I mean, don't people watch, like, because every year on Casualty they have a story about fireworks gone wrong around sort of November time. Don't people watch that? Are you not afraid of, like, blowing your hand off or something? Like, I mean, I don't know if there have been major incidents around where I am lately, but I imagine there probably have been. And even if there haven't, when did we stop being considerate of our neighbours? When did that stop? I sound like those people who talk about Brexit and go on and be like, oh, when we have Brexit, everything will be great. You know, milk will be 20p again and everyone will have jobs and Jim Davidson will be able to be on TV again because people will forget that he's a horrible bastard and they'll start booking him for, like, Saturday night TV. I'm just saying, you know, I don't want any of those things. What I do want is to be able to sit in my home of an evening and not have constant banging from about 6 o'clock until 1 in the morning. It disturbs me. It really does. And I keep, every time I hear them now, I keep thinking of that video of that poor dog. I really do. And I've just had enough. Have you had enough? I don't know. I don't know how things are where you are. How's it going? But I saw as well on Twitter, it appears I just see everything on Twitter, really. But I saw this thread, and people were all talking about different people they knew who reacted badly to fireworks. And there was one that genuinely, like, it hit me. You know what I mean? This person was talking about someone they knew, and a firework went off, and the person literally just went straight down on the ground and covered their eyes because they were a refugee, and where they had come from before, a sound like that meant, you know, they were potentially going to die. And that trauma has obviously followed them here, and then having that sound really, really scared them. And to have that constantly all throughout winter for no apparent reason as well, I just, and you know, it's just the longevity of it that bothers me. Why is it so stretched out? Why is it something on a daily basis that lasts for months? If we had just organized displays, then it should be one night in each area, get it done, problem solved. Why are we doing this on such a constant basis? Every evening it feels like forever. I just, is there nothing on TV? Is there nothing on your Netflix watch list? Like, what? Why? I just, anyway, yeah, I think it's time to end fireworks is where I'm going with this. It is time. It's been time for a long time. The time is now. And an election is coming up, so any party that proposes this, I will probably vote for. No, I'm joking. I wouldn't vote on just that issue. There's a lot more that I should think about. But anyway, register to vote and vote for the Stop Fireworks Party. My teddy bear would tell you all my secrets, but he's a good man. Loyally laying on my bed with his mouth sewed shut, staring up at me as I arrive home and return his jacket, my comfort blanket, to him. I lay with my loyal friend, the only man I'll ever truly trust, as jump scares from James Wan crawl through the TV. I am grateful that my greatest fear that night is just a fantasy thought up by Hollywood. I try to forget the confession I was never supposed to hear, the hissing whispers, as your ex-wife confronted you, asking why your new girlfriend was so young. You told her that I was very mature for my age, and I almost laughed, because I've been written that way before. I'm always very mature for my age. Every middle-aged man I've ever met has been so convinced I'm so grown up, but seems to simultaneously think I keep them young. She seems to have picked up on that. She wanted to know how I could be so mature, with bows in my hair and a bear for a roommate. Something happened to her when she was a child, he spit out, as if you're afraid that my past will poison your mouth. I almost give away my hiding spot, feeling faint and failed. I was never good at hiding anyway, and sometimes I think that's the cause of all my troubles. If I could have found a way to disappear, I'd have never been so visible. Sometimes it feels like you raise the issue more than I do. I told you I don't want to talk about it. I've never wanted to talk about it. Maybe it's written all over the way that I dress. My militant hatred for porn. The fact that I cry after you. I told you I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about the fact that I have to carry my teddy bear's jacket with me, because it's the only thing that stops me breaking down when I think about. I told you I don't want to talk about it. And your smug ex-wife, who seems to have a good life, might not understand. But you're my man now. And if that's what you want, you've got to be loyal, like that bear. Or I can't keep you in my bed, in my life. So don't tell my secrets. Don't revisit my childhood with removed disgust. If you really can't talk about it without that tone, then just shut the fuck up. And just be there, loyal, laying on my bed, waiting to watch horror films so I can look for something that frightens me more than my memory. Sometimes people are like trying to help, and they're trying to be there for you. But there are some things where people, they don't know what to say and they don't know how to help. And that's normal and it's fine. And sometimes they'll say the wrong thing, but like, it's not the wrong thing. It just sounds wrong to you. And then it feels like it hurts and you're like, what the fuck, bitch? And they don't mean anything by it, you know, but it doesn't stop it from hurting. And it's hard to explain that. And you get frustrated and it's like you let someone get close to you and they make this one mistake without even realizing that they have. And so you push them away because that's all you know how to do. Because you spent so long protecting yourself that it's hard to accept someone else wants to. And so you're like hypercritical of them. Because you don't really trust them, because you don't know how to trust anybody. Being human is like the hardest thing there is. Ah! 7 a.m. I'm staring rather than sleeping. Risking madness as I risk assess again and again how dangerous it is to be your little doll. Dropping your name in every dark boulevard, I walk home alone. The moon consents that you staked a claim on me and hides behind the clouds, crowding all the stars around her, leaving me with nothing but a dark night. And a few brave but stupid rats trying to impress me by fighting for scraps for attention that they know is no longer mine to give. Because when a boy is bad, he owns the whole town and every inch of the girl he calls his own. Your reputation is wrapped around me like the code that commands loyalty based on bribery and fear. I sleep in your sinful sanctuary, the sadder but wiser girl. Searching the skies for the helicopters that hunt you. Lulled to sleep by a lullaby of late night gunshots. Don't ask me why, because I don't actually know and I can't tell you. But that very much feels like it took place in like this area of Greenwich where I used to go to uni, by the Cutty Sark DLR station, but like super late at night when like it's really late and nothing's open and you're just like walking down, like, it's not like a road. There's a road near it, but it's like this path, right? So you go under like this little archway by the sweet shop and the M&S and the Waterstones, and like there's like a Superdrug and a Subway and the Cutty Sark DLR station and a Witherspoons that does really good chocolate cake. But I just, like, when it's late and nothing's open and there's no lights, it feels very dangerous and like cool. And I just feel like that poem takes place there. I wrote that, I was thinking, I was watching, have you seen Whitechapel? I know I'm several years late on this, I assume. but I saw it on Netflix and I saw Steve Pemberton on the cover and I was like, I love that bitch. So I started watching it and I enjoyed it. It was really good. I'm almost done with the third series, but anyway, just like that kind of like late at night murder mystery, everything's so mysterious and scary, ooh, kind of thing. But like in Greenwich, I don't think anything bad really happens in Greenwich. And I don't think, I mean, it's just, it's in a royal borough and it's super posh there and there's an observatory. So, you know, but I don't know. I was just thinking about that area and just like, I want to write like a kind of mysterious kind of noir kind of elusive moment and just like there. Greenwich is actually really nice. I kind of miss it. I haven't been back there in a while. I haven't been there in a minute, but it was a nice place. There's a part of me that wishes I'd actually lived there when I was studying there, because I always live kind of outside of there, like in London, but not there, because it was super expensive and I wasn't a fucking millionaire. But I kind of wish I had. It would have been fun and mysterious and sexy and amazing. But also I would have had no money, so I barely had money as a student anyways, so I kind of miss being a student sometimes, and sometimes I'll be like, oh my god, I want to go and do like my postgrad or whatever, I want to go and do a master's degree, but I don't know if I could get back into that routine of like going to classes and like doing stuff when I have assignments and not just in the middle of the night when I feel like it, you know what I mean? I don't know if I could stick to it and commit to it. And I'd have to pay a lot of money to do so, so I'd really need to be sure. but I was actually looking at it seriously, like, sometime last year. I was looking at doing a master's in Glasgow. Like, full-on going there and stuff. But then I saw how much money it was, and I was like, girl, we don't want to improve our education that much. Mm-mm, not with that price tag. But I hadn't really looked at it seriously, to be fair. Like, properly. But maybe I'll do it one day. But I kind of want to do it at Greenwich, just because it's where I did my last one. And I know where everything is, you know what I mean? I don't want to have to learn a new campus. That'd be a pain in the ass. But, and I can sort of relive that poem and just like go out in the night and be like, oh, it's so dark and mysterious. Oh my God, I hope I don't get murdered. So, here we are again at the end. But you can find more of my work on my website, jenniferwan.com. You can also find my new single, It's About Christmas and Being Sad. You can find that wherever you get music, really. but the link for that is also in the description as well. And the music video will be released at some point this week. So that'll be fun and exciting and Christmassy. And it's post-Halloween, so Mariah Carey says we can do Christmas now. So we're going to do Christmas now. I believe in America they have some Thanksgiving thing to do first. But I'm not there, so I'm not too bothered about that. You guys can do that if you want. Do you know, apparently they do the turkey then, and then I don't even know what they have at Christmas. That's bananas. What's that about? Jesus. Anyway, I mean, that means that they can't use the phrase turkeys voting for Christmas because, well, something else is happening at Christmas. So there's really to be turkeys voting for Thanksgiving, I suppose. Anyway, I've gotten off track of ending the episode. So yeah, Christmas song out now. You can find it at the link in the description. It's very fun and Christmassy. And I just said it's a song about being depressed, but it is a fun song about being depressed. They exist. You can also find me on social media, the username at Miss J Squared. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Rumble, SoundCloud, YouTube, Reddit, Tumblr, everywhere really, all over the place. You can support this show and other free things I do, like videos and free collections of poetry and short stories. On Patreon, however you say it. The link for that's in the description, and you get early content exclusive content that I haven't released anywhere else, because I like you to have secret things. You can get access to the behind the scenes Instagram account, you can get access to free merch and lots of fun and exciting things. From $1 a month. So that's a thing. And also, some of the tiers get to be included in this list, which is my super cool pals. Thank you, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, and Eleanor. I feel like I was rapping there. That was fun. You can you can also support the show with one-off donations to PayPal or Ko-fi. The links to that are also in the description. And people who make donations there also get access to the early release program on my website, so you can see some things early. And with that, I bid you adieu. I will see you next week. Good night, my love.